I can't actually define or explain well how much I adored him and admired him and how important he was to me and still is to me.
Is a natural response to loss. It's the emotional suffering one feels when someone or something the individual loves is taken away. Loss, and specifically death, are part of our existence. We will all experience it. But we don't talk about it. There's no how to deal with death in the school curriculum. There are no lessons on how to cope, and though they say there are 7 steps to grief, there's no protocol to deal with it. We live in a society where so much is taboo. When we lose someone, there is so much uncertainty about how to feel and cope. And when it happens to someone we know, what do we say? This episode is by a dear friend of mine. Liz lost her father this year. It's a story of pain and loss, but also of hope. I learned a lot hearing this story. On this programme, we share stories that are thought-provoking and try and make you think, perhaps differently, about a topic. This topic is certainly a difficult one to talk about and to listen to, but nevertheless, it has a very important message. This is Liz's story.
My name's Liz Clements, I'm currently a journalist for the BBC, and I'm 22 years old. This is my story. It's one about grief and loss and really intense love for someone who I lost very recently. I am half Chinese and half Welsh, and those are two very different backgrounds and two very different cultures to be brought up in. My mum is from Singapore and is of Chinese descent, and my father was from Wales. They met when my father went out to Singapore to go teach English literature. When I was 4 years old, my father wanted me to come back to Wales to have all my education through the medium of Welsh, so I had that language as he did when he was a child. I became very close to my father and I admired him so much and everything that he did. And he got me from a young age to do things like perform on stage, and that developed my love for performance and theatre and English literature. Most of all, his true love became my true love. I studied at a university. My father, whilst teaching English literature in Singapore, also was a journalist, so very similarly, I followed the same thing. I always listened to the radio with him in the car when he'd pick me up from school. He'd always have Radio 4 on and we'd listen to The Archers, and it was always on. It was always the radio on in the background, and that's why I decided I wanted to work in radio. So I applied for a job in London as a radio producer. So I began doing that, and he was so proud of me. And yeah, everything that I really hold dear and I'm so passionate about is down to him. So my father developed an illness called emphysema.
Emphysema is a lung condition where the air sacs are damaged. It causes shortness of breath with daily activities.
He was quite a chain smoker, but my brother, who's now 16, just before he was born, my father quit smoking. I must explain that my father was an older father. He was born in 1944, so is kind of grandfather age to most other people my age. He is now 74. Quite a lot older than most parents, because your lungs are constantly struggling. If you imagine that you get an infection on top of that, if a regular person gets a chest infection, there's a lot of coughing, maybe a lot of wheezing, a shortness of breath and that. So if you have that on top of emphysema, it makes you even weaker. And This got worse and worse over the space of about 16 years. He was in and out of hospital a lot, but my father was such a strong character. He always fought so hard to fight these illnesses. And whenever he went in hospital, there was never a shadow of a doubt that he'd come out of hospital, because he kept himself fit whenever he could. He did exercises, he gardened, he cooked, he did so much. Because he wanted to stay alive for me and my brother. He was in hospital for a very long period of time. This is while I was in London. And it was really difficult. I was travelling from London to Cardiff every weekend and seeing him in hospital. And seeing someone that short of breath, it's seeing someone struggle every day to do things like brush their teeth, be able to get out of bed, walk upstairs. It's very difficult to watch.
During this time, Liz had travelled from London back to Cardiff to visit her family.
This time there was something different. I didn't think it wasn't as evident that he was going to come out. And because of how hospitals are here, they give you one visiting time during the day and one visiting time in the evening. So it was difficult. But Dad was such a character, so kind of full of vitality and so positive and always laughing and making others laugh. So he'd make friends in hospital. And being in an environment where everyone close to you is dying, as you can imagine, would wear you down and make you, I don't know, question things and naturally quite depressed. So it reached a point in hospital where they couldn't do anything any further. We had carers coming to the house every now and again, checking up on Dad and helping him with things. He was a very independent man, so a lot of the time he'd want to wash himself and do all those things by himself, but they were just there to offer care if he needed it. He had oxygen in the house to help him through the nights, although before that he'd been offered oxygen several times before, but had always turned it down because he wanted to be able to breathe by himself, and he knew that if he said yes to oxygen early on, it may affect his ability to breathe by himself. Again, very motivated and very stubborn in a good way. It was difficult for me because I felt so removed from it all. I was in London, but I wanted to be close to Dad, just as I had been through university while I was doing my serious essays in my last year. Dad was in hospital throughout the whole time, so I did all my essays in the hospital. You're only allowed to have 1 hour visiting time, but I just kind of sneak behind a door and sit by Dad and do all my essays there. And I think just having me as company was reassuring for him and made him feel a little less lonely. And so So it was difficult when I was in London and away from him, because I wanted to be there and I wanted to support him and I wanted to see him. And I had this feeling in myself, I know it's weird, but I had a feeling that if I was there, nothing would go wrong and that he'd always be okay.
London was at least a 3-hour bus journey away from Cardiff. Liz wanted to be closer to her father, so applied for a job back in Cardiff.
So I applied for a job in Cardiff when my time in London was coming to an end, because I thought, well, I'm not going to spend any more time away. I need to be as close to Dad as possible because it's not looking good.
This time, when Liz was visiting home, her mother, Anne, knew something was different. Something wasn't quite right.
My mum said, oh, you don't mind. It was a Friday. So my mum was like, oh, you don't mind coming back to the house, do you, to come help Dad go to bed. He's just been sleeping on the sofa all day. Would you mind? And I said, yeah, of course, I'll come back. So she picked me up from the bus station and we went back to the house and Dad was sat on the sofa really sleepy. And I started speaking to him. I was like, hey, Dad, you okay? And he wasn't really responding very much, but he looked really peaceful sleeping. Anyway, that night, I'm not going to go into how it was, but that night he died. And my brother and my mum and I were all there to see it. And it was heartbreaking, but I'm just so grateful that I was there. Because I wasn't going to be. Mum must have sensed that something was wrong and got me to come home. And I remember Dad calling out now and again, just saying Anne, which is my mum's name. And Mum would say, yeah. And then he'd say, Elizabeth, and I'd say, yeah. And it was as if he was just making sure we were all there. And yeah, when we tried to carry him to bed, He died and... It was really difficult. And it still is so difficult. I remember it so vividly. And I'm happy that he was in our family home because it's where he wanted to be. He didn't want to be in somewhere clinical full of strangers. He was there with his closest family around him. And that's reassuring to a degree, but it doesn't make it any easier to cope with. I know how lucky I am in many ways because I have had the most wonderful father and the most wonderful relationship with him. And I am so lucky because that's something that some other people don't get, but I can't help feeling robbed and I can't help feeling that it's so, so unfair because other people will have their parents for the majority of their lives and I've had mine just for 22 years. I keep on thinking that everything I go through now, every positive thing that happens in my life, if I get married, if I have children, when I get a house, all these things will be bittersweet because Dad should have been there to see them all. And that's really difficult to comprehend and understand. I can't actually define or explain well how much I adored him and admired him and how important he was to me and still is to me. It'll be something like I'll see someone with a hat on that Dad had and I'll start crying. I'll see a girl on the phone to her father and I'll start crying. These are things I'm not going to have ever again. It's such a huge thing in my life and I can't help thinking that it's always going to affect me. And it's weird when I said that it's changed my perspective. It really has. I used to be so superstitious and also whenever I saw an ambulance passing by, my first thought would be, could that be for Dad? What has something happened? If Dad was late for something, I'd be like, oh my gosh, has he dropped dead? Has he had a heart attack? If I got a phone call from an unknown number, I'd be like, oh my gosh, is he in hospital? All this panic used to happen. But since Dad's gone, it's quite changed the way that I've thought quite a lot to the point where I'm like, if I got hit by a car or if something bad happened to me, would it really matter that much? Because it is so difficult living life without Dad. And it's so difficult knowing that I'm never going to see him again. It's just such a huge struggle. And I'm not really one to usually talk about things like this and express all this hurt and upset because I'm genuinely such a positive person, although it may not come across like that.
Liz goes on to talk about how approaching this topic can be hard and how some things people say can do more harm than good.
Speaking to people our age about the loss of a parent is difficult because they may have experienced the loss of an animal, they may have experienced a loss of a grandparent or an uncle or an auntie, but the likelihood is that most people haven't experienced a loss of a parent. And so they don't really know how to comfort you. They don't really know what it feels like. And it's very much an individual struggle. And it varies from person to person because it depended on your relationship. And everyone is so unique in their relationships and what people mean to them. But I have lots of friends around me who are extremely supportive, but I can't help feeling lonely and isolated because the person who I was closest to in the whole world is now gone. And the person that I would express this type of emotion to and expect support from is now gone. And the people around me who try to support me just don't quite understand it. I have adults saying to me, oh, I know what you're going through. I've lost a parent recently. And I know that they're trying to support me and they're trying to comfort me, but I can't help thinking in the back of my mind, well, you don't know because you've had your parents for most of your life. Many people have misconceptions or they think they have an understanding of what you should say to people going through grief. But many of them are just cliches and can be harmful. When people say, oh, you're such a strong person, you're going to get over this, or you're coping so well, that in a way can be negative because losing a parent, surely that's the one time where you don't have to be strong. You shouldn't be made out or made to feel like you should be strong. This is the time where you can be broken and it should be acceptable, and people should accept that, nah, actually you're a wreck and you're not a strong person, but that's fine because it's justified. And people our age will say things like, oh, it'll get better with time. But a part of me says, yeah, maybe I'll cope better with it with time. But this feeling of loss isn't going to feel any better. I'm never going to think, oh, well, I feel much better now. It's always just going to be like, oh, I can perhaps control this emotion a bit more, or I can try to calm myself down before crying, rather than, oh, the loss feels a little less. But I just really hope that when they go, I know now one positive of having gone through this myself is if a friend goes through this, I'll know exactly what to say. When it first happened, my friends were asking me how I was all the time, and that they were so sorry to hear about it. And then as soon as the funeral was over, I was just dropped. It is not the priority in people's heads. It's not the thing that's overwhelming them and constantly swirling around in their head. So why would they ask me how I am? And lots of people are afraid to ask you because they don't want to upset you. But I don't think that's right. You should ask someone how they are if you know that they are going through this. You should give them the choice and the autonomy to say whether they want to answer that or not. If they ask you, someone asks you, how are you? I'm really sorry about your father's death. How are you coping with it? But that person answering can easily say, oh, I don't really want to talk about it today. But give them that option. Don't take that option away from them and assume, oh, they won't want to talk about it. It'll probably upset them. Knowing that you're willing to talk about it and that you're acknowledging this thing that is so important to the person who's lost someone is so, so vitally important. And I'm really hoping that what people say is right, and maybe it will get better with time, but right now it feels just as raw as it did a couple of months ago when he died. I'm 22, and I've already lost a parent, and someone who is so, so important to me. And that's something really, really difficult to understand and to think about positively. And I just want to say all this because I want other people to maybe understand the point of view of someone who's lost someone that close to them and understand what it's like to go through grief. And maybe even if this helps one person support their friend going through it more, or even if this, I don't know, opens someone's eyes to how intense it can be, I'll be happy just knowing that it's helped one person and will help the support of another person. I think it's so, so important that we're educated on this matter and that we try and help the people who are going through it, not even a month after or 2 months after, but for as long as they need to. Just ask the question, how are you? It's so important. Show that you care, show that you're interested. Don't just say, I'm here if you need me, because that person will need to reach out. And sometimes someone doesn't want to reach out to you and say, by the way, I'm feeling absolutely shit today. I'm feeling awful. Sometimes they don't want to keep on reaching out and feeling like they're a burden. Show your willingness to help if you can. Just say, listen, how are you today? And give that person that choice to answer the question in whatever way that they want.
This episode is supporting City Hospice in Cardiff. They deliver specialist palliative care to people in their homes, making adjustments to allow them to maintain their independence for as long as possible. Please visit cityhospice.org.uk/donate.
I also want to thank everyone who helped Dad in City Hospice. They were so helpful to Dad when he was having carers come to the house. Just having someone that Dad could laugh with and make to laugh. One of Dad's biggest loves was making people laugh. And they always used to say how much of a character he was and how wonderful he was and how happy and how witty. It was so sharp. And yeah, I can't really thank them enough for being so supportive and helping my family and especially my dad. So yeah, I would like to thank them hugely. And also say that if you have any money at all, if you could donate it to City Hospice, because they're doing such a wonderful job and helping not only all these people who are very, very ill and dying, but also all their families and giving them as much hope as they could.
After her father's death, Liz received a lot of unexpected support online.
What was really shocking was following my father's death, all of his loads of his students in Singapore who he taught English literature to and who he absolutely inspired, they all wrote really beautiful dedications and eulogies to him on Facebook. And there were 20 maybe all on Facebook, and that's the last thing you expect, is people in a country across the world to be writing these really intense and beautiful memories about your father and you don't even know them. But it was really wonderful to know that I knew that he'd shaped so many people's lives. There were people who were from very strict Asian backgrounds who were supposed to be doing medicine, who are now directors and actors and writers because Dad inspired them so much, and they showed this appreciation and this admiration for Dad. And
Liz wrote this in dedication to her father.
I thought, well, I don't want everyone to find out about Dad's death through other people's dedications and eulogies. I'd like to write one too. And I am by no means as wonderful with words as Dad is or was. But I tried my best to put something together. My father's joie de vivre, constant sharpness and wit up until the end, made him seem far too full of vitality that I could ever imagine he could be still. I wonder if there will ever come a day when the first thing I think about is not of the immense love and hiraeth, which is Welsh for longing, I feel for him. I truly have him to thank for everything I hold dear. My passions for literature, film, rugby, journalism, boxing, theatre, radio. I would not be the acting-obsessed, literature-studying and playful rugby and boxing fanatic cinephile I am today without his unimaginable influence and impact on me. It's safe to say he absolutely inspired me in every possible way. I admired and loved him in such a way that the confines of language seem far too limited to express it. Dad would have known how to articulate it. He has always been my hero, the most important person in my life, and will continue to be my inspiration and motivation for everything. My childhood and life with him was spent laughing uncontrollably, attending rugby matches, visiting the graves, places of birth, and historical locations of literary and historical figures. Play boxing. I've got a hell of a punch thanks to Dad and ended up with some bruised arms in my time. Watching the most astounding films and constantly learning from him. He was a fountain of knowledge and is the most intelligent and sharp man that I will ever meet. He was the definition of remarkable, and I will never have the relationship or bond that I had with him with anyone else. I loved him so abundantly with every part of myself. I will miss not being able to talk about films with him. Sitting in the car with him listening to Radio 4. Being told a perfect summation of a feeling or experience via a literary quote. Hearing about the current storyline in The Archers. Being told to watch particular programmes or read certain books or articles. Ultimately, I will mostly miss the twinkle in his eye and his laugh. The way I made him laugh with essentially his own humour, which I had inherited and learned from him. But also the way he made me laugh all the time. He always made me feel so loved, empowered, that he was proud of me and gave me all the support and encouragement I could have ever wished for. Every day, I sit in the garden that he was so fond of and worked on so beautifully, and I'm overwhelmed with sadness and heartbreak at the loss of such a wondrous figure in my life and many others. Despite this, I mostly thank my stars and consider myself the luckiest person alive to have called this man my dear, beloved father. Cari ti, Dad. Diolch am bopeth. I love you, Dad. Thank you for everything.
Getting support for dealing with loss is just a phone call away. In the UK, you can call the Bereavement Trust free on 0800 435 455. There are several grief helplines in the UK, even ones for specific circumstances. I've made a list for helplines in the UK, US, and other countries. Visit thinktankpod.com/grief to find out more. Thank you to Liz, our storyteller this episode, telling one of the most powerful and emotive stories this series. As mentioned at the start, Liz is a journalist for the BBC. Her father's decision to educate her in the Welsh language was certainly beneficial, as you can often hear Liz on Radio Cymru, the BBC's Welsh language radio station. Think Tank is a free and independent podcast supported by you, our loyal listeners on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/thinktankpodcast to become a patron. You can listen to past and future episodes on Apple Podcasts and all other platforms. And you can now find us on Spotify Podcasts. Why not leave a rating and a review and consider subscribing to get future episodes, including our documentary, straight to your app of choice. For more info and to join the conversation, find us on all social media or visit our website, thinktankpod.com. With sound design by Rowan Lees, music by Azir, I'm Harry Bly. You've been listening to Think Tank.